Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, if you follow the Beacon Broadcast on a regular basis, you know that we are in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, which is the concluding chapter of the book. And so we're coming to the final conclusion of all that has gone on in this book, all of his study about searching what makes life meaningful. And he tells us how to make life fulfilling, meaningful, happy, satisfying. If you'll listen to his instructions in chapter 12, which is really the conclusion of all that he has said leading up to this final chapter. And there are three statements in chapter 12 about how to make life fulfilling. And number one is seek God while you are young. And I'm not going to go back over that again, but that's so important. Seek God while you're young. Why? Because if you wait till you're old, it'll be too late to make life fulfilling. Thank God it won't be too late to go to heaven. God's grace can save people at the final hour. Think about the thief on the cross who was saved, well, we don't know, at the most hours before he died. And some people have trouble with that, but there it is. It's there in the Bible for our admonition, exhortation, instruction, and understanding. So yes, it is possible to be, but you see, the thief on the cross, who was saved hours before he died, did not live a fulfilling life upon earth. He waited too late to give himself to God. So seek God while you are young. That's the first, and I started to say the most important thing. I don't know that it's the most important, but it certainly is foundational. If you don't do that, you can't make life fulfilling. Life passes you by. That's just the nature of it. It passes you by, and then it's too late. But we move on to the second one that we started into yesterday. But I pause to welcome you to this Tuesday, March 9 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank you for your financial support that makes it possible to teach God's Word on the station. All right, number one, seek God while you are young. What's number two? It is make the Bible your primary resource for life, your primary focus in life, your primary guideline in life, your primary source to understand life and to help you understand all the elements of life. The real key to that is the Bible, God's Word. So make the Bible your primary resource for life. And we started out by noticing in verses 9 and 10 that the Bible is carefully constructed, and we'll go back to that in a moment. But it goes on in verse 11 to tell us that the Bible is divinely delivered, and in verse 12 that the Bible is uniquely positioned. And for these reasons, you can and should make the Bible your primary resource for life. And it is because, number one, the Bible is carefully constructed. Remember that? We talked about it yesterday, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher, that is Solomon, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Solomon was one of the authors of a portion of the book we call the Bible. He didn't write it all. He didn't write most of it, but he wrote some of it. He wrote a book called Proverbs. He wrote a book called Song of Solomon. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. And he's telling us here what went into the construction of these books that he wrote. And he tells us that a lot of thought went into it. He pondered. And he sought out. He did research. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes is a record of some of that research. And he set in order. He set things down in a logical way. He thought through what's the best way to present this material. How should I introduce it? How should I arrange it? How should I conclude it? All of that takes thought. And all of that went into the portions of the book, the Bible, that Solomon constructed. That was the human work that went into it. Ah, you say, but I thought these Bible authors were divinely inspired. I thought God just breathed upon them. I thought the Word of God just came to them. I thought it just flowed out of them without any thought, without any effort. That's the way I've always thought it was. That's the way I would think it ought to be if it is, in fact, the Word of God, if it's inspired. Well, listen to Solomon and learn that that's not the way that the Bible is produced in most cases. Not every portion of the Bible was produced in exactly the same way, though all of it is, at the same time, the Word of man and the Word of God. But it is the human part that Solomon is talking about here. Yes, his pondering was guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, his searching, his studying, his research was guided and guarded by the Word of God. Yes, his setting things out in order, his way of presenting things was guided and guarded by the Spirit of God. But all of these things were true. It was a carefully constructed book that required a great deal of human labor, surprisingly. And we're talking about making the Bible your primary resource for life, and the first thought under that category is the Bible is carefully constructed. I started to mention on the broadcast yesterday that what writing I do, and I don't do a lot of writing, but I do write articles that are printed in our monthly church paper that we send out. And it takes an awful lot of work, and I keep thinking it ought to be easier. It ought to be easier. Land sakes, all the Bible studying I've done over the years, I ought to be able to just let my thoughts flow, and they should flow coherently and logically and beautifully and knowledgeably. But I have discovered that it doesn't happen that way, and I'm not claiming inspiration like Solomon was inspired. I'm not writing Bible. I'm not writing Scripture. I'm just talking about the labor, the hard work that goes into writing something that's worthwhile. There's this human element, and it requires a lot of work. And a good writer will tell you that the most important thing about writing is the willingness to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite, and rewrite, and rewrite some more. It doesn't just flow. You say, couldn't it? Well, it could, and I suppose sometimes it does, but most of the time it doesn't. And Solomon is telling us here the hard work that goes into it. But on the one hand, the Bible is carefully constructed in the labors of the human mind working on getting things said the right way, but at the same time, these are acceptable, upright words of truth. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written, here's the product, what was written was upright words of truth. You see, the preacher, the writer of Scripture, pondered. He thought about this carefully, sought out, He did research, set an order, he put things together logically, sought to find acceptable words. He thought about the words he was using. He crossed out one word that he had used and went back and changed it for another one. I mean, this is just a very, very, very clear description of the writing process for anybody who does any writing. They'll recognize it here very clearly. But here's what Solomon could also say about what he wrote that I cannot say about what I wrote, and that is, what was written was upright words of truth. We could say what was written was infallible words of truth. What was written were words that were completely true, always true, thoroughly true, that had no admixture of error. It came by hard human labor, by writing and rewriting and thinking about and researching and writing one word and changing it for another word, a very, very human process involved here. But because it was more than the words of a man, it is also the word of the living God, if it's scripture, and that's what he's talking about here. And when that's what we're talking about, because the Holy Spirit is superintending this process, holy men of God, as Peter tells us, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what we're talking about, that when you what you end up with is words of truth, and in the ultimate sense, hopefully what I write is true, not a lie, certainly not consciously a lie. I don't write anything attempting to deceive. What I write, I believe to be the truth. To the best of my knowledge and ability, it is the truth. But I would not claim that all of the things that I have written over the years are ultimate truth without any possibility of being wrong or any mixture of error. I sometimes go back and reread articles that I wrote 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I often find things I say, whoops, that wasn't exactly right. Whoops, I wish I had written something different there. Whoops, I have a better understanding of that now. Yeah, because mine only has the human side. It doesn't have the divine side. But you see, the Bible, though it is a very human book and is carefully constructed by human authors like Solomon and other human authors that God used, it is, in the final analysis, perfect, infallible words of truth. It is the word of the living God. What was written was upright words of truth. And this is why, what are we talking about? We're talking about making the Bible your primary resource for life, because it is that kind of book, because it is the Word of God that has come to us through human authors by God's design. That's the way He designed to bring it to us, but nevertheless, it is the Word of the living God. So we're talking about how to make life fulfilling, and how do you do that? Number one, seek God while you are young, and number two, make the Bible your primary resource for life, because of the nature of this book, what it is, as the Word of the living God, it therefore ought to be your primary resource for life. And we'll talk about this some more as we come back to it, Lord willing, in the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.